Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Unipath India Limited Q3 FY23 earnings call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chirag Jain from DAM Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Darwin. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors, would like to welcome you all to the 3Q FY23 earnings conference call of Unipath India Limited. To represent the management, we have with us Mr. Gurdeep Soni, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Vivek Maheshwari, Vice President, Financial Planning and Analysis, as well as Investor Relations, and Mr. Jatin Mahajan, Associate Vice President, Legal and Company Secretary. We'll start the call with brief opening comments from the management team, followed up with the Q&A session. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Soni for his opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chirag, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q3 earnings call for the financial year 23 of Unipath India Limited. It has been a milestone quarter for the company with its listing on the stock exchanges on 12th of December, we truly appreciate the support we received from our investors, the book running lead managers, and other service partners in this IPO journey. We set out on our journey over 3 decades ago, with the goal of building a driven, versatile, and global institution that serves customers worldwide. We have worked diligently and with passion over the years to establish ourselves as a preferred supplier to the global off-highway vehicle market. In fact, our strengths, I would list some are, you know, we are a leading market presence in off-highway systems globally. We have a global business model. We have in-house engineering and design capabilities. The company has a very robust financial and performance matrices and a very experienced and very passionate team behind Unipath India Limited. We continue to drive Unipath forward, and we believe that the foundation is well set for a more exciting future ahead. The industry we service is estimated to be over $200 billion in size, and our two core product verticals, three-point linkage for the agriculture tractors and precision machine parts, which is basically articulation joints for the construction machinery, have a market size of over $1 billion. Unipath has a leading market share in both of these globally. In addition, we also offer adjacent product systems, like power takeoff, shafts and components, hydraulic cylinders, and fabricated assemblies used on the agricultural and construction equipment. In fact, the estimated market size for these adjacent systems is over $10 billion, and Unipath is present both in the OEM and aftermarket segments with strong distribution channels and marquee customer base. With this background about Unipath and its positioning, let me spend a few minutes sharing my thoughts with respect to the current operating environment and business highlights for the third quarter and the nine-month period of FY23. As we enter the new calendar year, the global off-highway vehicle industry leaders are forecasting growth in revenue. This OHV end user demand is expected to be resilient. In fact, the demand from Europe-based OEM customers remains stable to positive. North America, large agriculture and construction equipment market is expected to be higher, while the small ag could stay flat to marginally lower. Europe and USA aftermarket segments is witnessing temporary softening, driven primarily because of the inventory readjustment by customers due to improving logistics. What has really happened is that, you know, shipping times used to take 55 days, it went up to 90 days, and they are now down to 60 days. That extra 30 days of inventory in the system, both for USA and Europe, is now has been absorbed, and which is leading to this temporary softness. sentiments and demand-driven remains positive for the India domestic tractor market, and leading OEMs expecting growth in current as well as the next financial year. We continue to witness the favorable impact of China Plus One on our new inquiries and ongoing engagements. Uniparts is preparing for its foray into the three-point linkage system, also for the what is known as utility terrain vehicles or UTVs for the financial year 24, which is expected to open up an additional over 200 million market opportunity for us. Our presence in the aftermarket retail store segment in North America is expected to witness a big boost, as we have recently added the second largest retail store group for farm equipment and accessories in North America as a customer. In fact, the company already has the largest company called Tractor Supply Company as a customer for the last 5 years, and this is the second largest one that we have just recently added. Having said that, before we go into more depth on the financial performance, I would like to briefly reflect on our growth outlook. As large global players are now increasingly looking beyond China, India's manufacturing sector is expected to benefit significantly from this, and we are witnessing in Uniparts a very favorable impact on the new inquiries. On the other hand, the US $1 trillion infrastructure bill is also the, and also the fact that the farm incomes are very robust in the agricultural industry are expected to keep demand for new equipment at very healthy levels. We believe that our excellent customer relationships, global business model, and strong financial profile positions us very well to take advantage of these multiple opportunities. With this, I would like to hand over to Vivek Maheshwari to discuss the details of our financial performance. Over to you, Vivek. Thanks.
Thank you, Gurdeep, sir, and good afternoon, all. We are pleased to share that it has been a very encouraging third quarter and first 9 months for the business in terms of financial performance. Following are some of the highlights at the consolidated group level. Revenue from operations for Q3 came in at 331 crores, which is a year-on-year increase of 9.4%. And for 9 months, came in at 1,037 crores, which is an increase of 17.8% year-on-year. Reported EBITDA for Q3 was 85.5 crores, which is a growth of 23.7%. And for 9 months was 243 crores, which is a growth of 20.7%. While EBITDA margins reported at 25.8% for Q3 and 23.4% for 9 months. PAT for Q3 came in at 56 crore, which is a year-on-year increase of 28.2%, while for 9 months, PAT came in at 159 crore, which is an increase of 29.2%. Operating cash flow generation for 9 months of FY23 was at 144 crore, which is the highest ever in the history of the company for cumulative 9 months. As a result of above, the gross bank borrowing reduced by nearly 60 crore during the first 9 months period. Earnings per share of for 9 months has been approximately 36 rupees per share, and board has declared an interim dividend of 8.25 per share, totaling to a little over 37 crores payout to the shareholders. YTD capex spend has been approximately 23.2 crores. YTD other income of 9.3 crores included approximately 7.5 crores as a benefit received towards employee retention credit in US subsidiaries under the ERC scheme established under the CARES Act. Commodity prices, which is steel in our case, have come off historical highs and are range-bound for now. Ocean freight prices have come down significantly from historical highs witnessed in late FY22 and early FY23. Upward pressure on operating costs could continue in medium term to be partially mitigated through operating efficiencies. Our end market, which is global off-highway vehicles, continues to stay resilient. However, the prevailing macro concerns over possible global economic slowdown or recession remains a key monitorable over the coming quarters. With this summary, I would like to hand the conference back to the moderator for questions and answer session. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rajesh Kothari from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Congratulations for great set of numbers. I have a few questions. First question is, can you share some color on how do you see the growth outlook in terms of your key customers? For example, Caterpillar, where currently we might be only $5 to $7 million of revenue, but the potential is huge. So earlier, like you were mentioning that, you know, there are a couple of large orders which are in discussion stage. So likewise, if you can talk about the few customers which can give visibility for the next year growth, that would be great. And then I will follow up with the second question.
Thanks. You mentioned the name Caterpillar, and if you looked at their commentary that came out a couple of weeks ago, for the current year, they are in fact looking at a 13 to 15% top line growth. The fact is that the 1 trillion infrastructure bill is really giving a lot of demand to the construction industry, and that is why not just Caterpillar but most of the construction industry is looking at a pretty good numbers for the current year. At the same time, the biggest company in the agricultural side, John Deere, is also in the recent commentary has mentioned about a 12 to 14% growth for the current year. Although on the small tractors, they are talking about a flat to a little lower, because of inventory adjustments, you know. But beyond what our customers are planning to grow, we as a company in Uniparts are looking at very strong China plus one effect on our business, you know. In fact, the number of RFQs that we are getting and are getting finalized into business is quite amazing, you know, and therefore we at Uniparts are looking at overall wonderful period going forward.
No, so basically, you know, see, in terms of the visibility for the next year growth, because there are a lot of things which you need to probably finalize and close the orders, right, for you to deliver them for the next year. So any, from the growth perspective, any visibility on the new order intake?
So we can clearly say that in the last 9 month period, we have firmed up new business. And I'm talking new business. I'm not talking about existing business going up. But new business of 130 crores, out of which about 66 crore actually has been productionized, which means the samples have been approved and now we have gone into production cycle. And another about 64 crores are at the sample approval, the courts are approved and now the samples are getting approved. So clearly that is what we've seen in the last 9 month period. In addition to that, there is another about 30 odd crores plus that again has been approved, but we still have to start with the sampling stage. So we are clearly seeing a good visibility of the new business coming in. Again, like I said, a lot of it is because of the China plus one situation. And the fact that, in fact, I'll also use the term Europe plus one because of this energy crisis, we are seeing European companies also look at alternatives to their manufacturing in Europe, you know.
Great. Sir, my second question is with reference to, you know, the operating margins. In terms of the U.S. business, how are the margins this quarter for the U.S. business? That's number one. And number two, do you think this, trends to sustain? The third quarter numbers, of course, have been exceptionally strong in terms of the margins. How do you see the trends to sustain?
Yeah. So, the margin range is sustainable. And in terms of, various pieces of the margin are also in, similar range and stable range. U.S. operations continue to be slightly lower than the group blended average. And in the, early double-digit sort of range.
Okay, so basically, you are saying, I think USA was about 12% kind of a margin, so that remains even for this quarter, right?
Correct. Similar to that, yeah.
And warehousing margins, so basically the improvement in margin you would have seen primarily because of the warehousing segment, where you would have seen further uptick in the margins?
No, Rajesh. So, the uptrend has been a blend of, let's say, quite a few things. So for example, There has been operating leverage since the revenues are growing. There have been selective price actions also because we keep reviewing our portfolio from cost and pricing perspective. And also some numerator and denominator effect of, you know, freight cost moving in a particular direction. So all the channels are, contributing to the shift in the margin because of these things.
Thank you, sir. All the best. I'll come back in queue.
Rajesh, I may like to add that, you know, the numbers that we have given you for the 9 months of a PAT of 159 crores, actually we had other income over here, and part of the other income is that in the USA we got almost 7 crores of a check from the US government under the, they have a program that during the COVID time they said that, for wage protection program they called it. They paid us a little with a delayed fuse, and so we got this amount the last quarter. We do expect another amount to come, but I do not have a time period. Could be 2 months, could be 6 months, you know. But take out that other income and then take a look at our margins, you know.
Correct. So to look at the operating margin, we have to take out the other income.
And this is part of, this is not basically, you have not reported as a part of other income. It is basically going into the normal income. That's what you are trying to say, and therefore remove it from
part of the other income. So we are only highlighting
margins before other income.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we are looking margins before other income. So
that's
perfect. Yeah. Super. Thank you, sir. I'll come back in queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. A couple of questions from my side. Firstly, if you can share the revenue breakup between product categories and markets, and also what would be the share of warehousing revenues in this quarter?
Sure. So, Dinesh, I have it here. Generally these segments work little better for a slightly longer period, let's say a full year or something like that. For a quarter, you know, there can be reasons wherein some shift could be there. But having said that, most of our segmentations, either be product category-wise or geography-wise or channel-wise, have been fairly stable. The only one or two, shifts which we are witnessing so far in the year are that Europe as a geography is slightly lower. It used to be 25% till last year. Currently, YTD, it's about 22%. And all the other regions have gained against that. And obviously, because of some softness in the aftermarket, etc., as you heard earlier. And OEM and aftermarket split also, the aftermarket has, is slightly lower by a couple of percentage points at 17%. It used to be closer to 19% last year, while OEMs has gained to that extent. Otherwise, we are witnessing a fairly stable, spread of revenues across our categories, which is also reported in the slide deck.
Got it. And otherwise, the warehousing proportion continues to be at around 40%.
Yes, slightly above that, in the 41 to 42% range.
Got it. Second question pertains to the impact of this decline in commodity prices in ocean freight. So would it be fair to say that the large part of these changes would be largely passed through, maybe with a lag to our key customers, including the aftermarket, or in aftermarket we are able to retain some of these benefits?
Sorry, Dinesh, couldn't fully understand. Could you repeat the question?
So the decline in commodity prices and ocean freight, which has happened in last couple of quarters, do we need to pass it on to our customers, to both OEM as well as replacement market, or that part of that will be retained by us?
Let me answer that for you. No, we will be passing it on to the customers around fairness, because when ocean freight and steel was going up, they were diligently passing it on to us, so that, and which is the reason why we were able to maintain our high margin. So yes, we are passing on the low freight. In fact, the freight coming down is being passed on immediately, because that's from shipment to shipment. But the steel that is corrected comes with a delayed fuse. We normally watch it for a period of 3 months, and then we rework with the customers and we change the prices, you know. So yes, we will pass this on, but both these things are not going to have any effect on our EBITDA and PAT margins.
Got it. So even for the aftermarket, we pass on maybe with or without lag both the items?
Yes. So for steel, it is with a lag, and the freight is immediate, you know, both for aftermarket as for OEMs.
Got it. Got it. Okay. And the third question pertains to, particularly for the third quarter, we have seen substantial reduction in other expenses. Is there any one-off there, or this is more to do with normalization of cost as well?
Yeah. Hi, Jinesh. So, you know, the largest driver of that is ocean freight. Because ocean freight, you know, in the early part of the year as well as, you know, late part of last year was very, very high. To give you some perspective, I mean, at its peak, the ocean freight touched 9%-10% of revenue, while now in Q3, it is down to 5.6%. So that is the single largest driver. Rest, other line items are very, very small contributors.
Got it. Got it. And lastly, if you can share what were our realization on Euro-INR and USD-INR for the quarter?
I'll have to revert to you on that. I don't have that readily available.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pradyumna Choudhary from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So my question is, the first one is related to the margins, actually. So in this current year, Q2 and Q3, both the gross margins seem to be much lower than last year. And despite that, EBITDA margin is much higher. I understand some of it is due to the ocean freight also. But could you provide a better breakup of what led to margin improvements in terms of operating leverage paying out, in terms of how much would be due to ocean freight and so on?
Sure, Pradyumna. So let's pick, let's say, 9 months, which is a more reflective period. So, you know, gross margin, the change in gross margin that you have witnessed, it is predominantly, you know, previous year, the material cost had some favorable tailwind from inventory valuation. The total for the year was approximately 15 crores. So for 9 months, let's say about 11 to 12 crores. So from the base year, that needs to be taken out. So that will adjust the base a little bit. And also for previous, you know, previous year, the change in inventory, which was an increase, was quite substantial. While in the current year, we have maintained the inventory pretty nicely. So whenever there is a change, large change in inventory, obviously it causes some temporary shift, you know, of cost between the material cost and the other cost. So you might see that the material cost last year was looking a bit lower, while other costs were looking higher. Because what happens is, obviously, all the conversion costs are incurred, and which are sitting in the other cost. And while the negative inventory increase amount deflates the material cost. So broadly, you know, these are the two key reasons why optically there is a difference. But 35% is more, you know, stable state.
So 25% even on a steady state basis going forward, we expect such kind of margins, is there?
Yes, yes, yes. That's a more steady state in the short term.
All right. And second is regarding the split between, like, I believe around 70% revenue comes from the agri segment, right, for you guys? So, in this agri segment, 70% revenue, what would be the split between revenue coming from less than 70 horsepower tractors and more than 70 horsepower? Why I'm asking is because, as you mentioned, your largest agri customer is overall guiding for a growth in revenue, but for smaller tractors, they're guiding towards a flatter revenue to a certain sense. So, that's where I'm coming from.
Sure. So just to give you some background, in the agriculture end market, we not only, you know, supply three-point linkage, we also supply some PMP parts. So it's not just tractors, but some other agriculture machines also. So in total, out of the 70% that you're mentioning is agri, only about 55-56% is 3-point linkage, which is related to tractor, right? Rest all is PM, largely PMP, which is going into large agriculture equipment, right? And within 3-point linkage, a larger part is these smaller tractors. But the good part is that we are our sales are distributed across geographies, be it North America, Europe, India, Japan, etc. So any one particular geography being a little weak, but because of the diversification, you know, we are adequately, you know, let's say balanced out. But to just to let you know, I mean, a significantly large part is towards smaller tractors, and only about 15-20% is for larger tractors.
Understood. Going forward, like coming back to the margin question, going forward, maybe 3-4 years down the line, do we expect further margin improvement, or I think like these margins are more of the long-term sustainable margins and not much can be expected further?
We see, and in the medium to long term, we see couple of drivers which can help in further gradual increase in the margins. One is operating leverage. Obviously, as the revenue grows, there will some more operating leverage will kick in. And the second driver is likely to be the warehousing channel. As our sales through the warehousing channel has been increasing, 6-7 years back, they were at 30-32%. Now they are at 41-42%. And that's the highest margin channel for us. It is expected to, grow further towards, 47-48% or so in the medium to 3-4 years, let's say. So that is going to be the second driver. So between these couple of drivers and also operating efficiencies and few other things, I mean, we expect to, gradually take the margins further from here. 200-300 basis points.
What are margins like in the warehousing channel?
So the margins of the warehousing channel are about 28% at the EBITDA level. Direct exports out of India are about 21%, whereas the lowest are what we make in India and sell in India, which is about 10%. Also, what we make in USA and sell in USA is about 12%. So the warehouse one is definitely the one that contributes the most, which is 28%, and that is the one, as Vivek mentioned, we are expected to grow from the current 41-42 levels to 46-48% in the next 3-4 years.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Aditya Sharma from Aditya Birla Asset Management Company. Please go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, the line for Mr. Aditya Sharma has dropped from the queue. We'll take the next question from the line of Manoj Baheti. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. Congratulations for good set of numbers. So I have two questions. First one is I just wanted to understand, like, going forward, whether you will be happy to retain the current 25-26% kind of margins, or whether you will accelerate some of your investment to capture the adjacent areas, like you mentioned that UTVs, there is almost $200 million kind of market opportunity. So whether you will be inclined to build some of the fixed costs, like setting up the marketing sales team or you will continue with this kind of margins?
First of all, thank you for the question. First of all, our current margins are about 23%, not 25, but like I said, there is an other income that came in, which was a special check from the US government that helped us. But clearly, at the current margins that we have, as I answered the previous question, we do see this going up, the margins going up, simply because
Our sales from a warehousing model are expected to increase from the current level of 41-42% to 47% up to the next 3 to 4 years, as well as the fact that we will have operating leverage because of the revenue growth. So that's where we see our margins going up, you know.
Okay, okay. And if you can also help with your CapEx plan going forward, where are we in terms of our current capacity utilization, and when we have to undertake new capacity additions?
Yeah, yeah. So, currently we are at the around 75% to 80% utilization level.
Mm-hmm.
The CapEx for 9 months was close to 23 crore, as I highlighted earlier.
Mm-hmm.
For Q4, we are looking at a 10 to 15 crore range, depending upon, you know, timing could be sometimes little here or there, so that sort of a range. And in the medium to long term, you know, our estimate is that our CapEx, which includes both replacement CapEx as well as new CapEx, could be in the range of about 3% of top line.
Mm-hmm. And that will be sufficient to cater to the incremental growth also, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Absolutely, because replacement CapEx, which is about 50% of our depreciation, also adds about 5% to 7% additional capacity because of new machines coming in.
Mm.
And then the our normal additional CapEx, which is in the vicinity of about 10% capacity increase that we're looking at now.
Okay, okay. And I have one more question. Like you mentioned that you are seeing good tailwinds on China Plus One. So just wanted to understand, like, when you compete with your Chinese peers, so means what kind of means levers we have in terms of competing vis-a-vis them? Is it a pricing lever or the customer is more inclined to shift away from China even at the same price? So if you can touch upon that aspect.
Definitely. In fact, both the reasons are valid. There are companies that are saying, irrespective of what we buy from China, in fact, we're willing to pay 2 or 3 or 5% even more just to make a shift, because this is more a shift for reasons beyond, you know, it's the U.S. and Europe trying to move away from China.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Chinese costs have also gone up. The Chinese currency has not, let's use the word depreciated, as you know, at all, whereas the Indian currency has. So when we are now getting RFQs to quote, we are actually finding that we are lower by 5%-10% than what the current Chinese prices are.
Mm.
Don't forget that China also faces almost a 25% import duty in USA in particular. So that adds to the overall advantage that we have, you know. So clearly, like I mentioned, we are seeing very robust inward RFQs coming because of this reason into Uniparts India.
Just a follow-up to this. See, if there are such a huge tailwinds, like Chinese have to pay 25% kind of duty, and vis-a-vis our cost is lower and customers are more inclined to buy from us. So do you see a significant higher acceleration in growth from here? And if it is, whether you have to speed up your CapEx, capacity buildup, looking at these kind of tailwinds?
So clearly in our business, what happens is that whenever a new RFQ comes and it is awarded to us, we get 3 to 6 months to execute it till we come to what we call as productionized stage. And that gives us enough time for the increased CapEx that we need. We are also looking at, you know, while I've already mentioned some numbers of how much we have got in the last 9 months and what we expect immediately, yes, we are very dynamic in about our decisions to add capacity. The good part is that capacity is land and building and machine. So we have, as Uniparts, already taken on rent land and building on rent about 6 months ago, which is going to be good for capacity expansion for the next 2 years. And so we just have to now keep on adding only the machines to kind of, you know, increase our output from there.
Great. Thanks for taking my questions and wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krish Mehta from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. The first question I had was on going back to other expenses, you know, like without ocean freight costs, how do you see the sustainability of other expenses, say, as percentage of sales, say, in the next quarter as well as the next 2 years?
Yeah, thanks, Krish. So, see, without ocean freight, the other line items are reasonably stable, but definitely there are upward, you know, inflationary pressures on things such as consumables or energy, etc. So we are watchful. We are working on our internal efficiencies and operating efficiencies, etc., to counter some of that. But it remains a monitorable case. So it's difficult to predict really. But we are, you know, watchful, and we are simultaneously working on operating efficiency.
Having said that, let me add that, you know, as a company, we have approached almost all of customers for the inflation, and because inflation is such a global thing now that customers have also been compensating us for inflation, India inflation in the last 12 to 18 month period, you know, and we hope to get compensated. Part of the compensation is with the devaluation of the rupee, you know, they actually don't ask us for any rebates because of that, and so we just balance that out, you know, that inflation will be covered by from the fact that we are getting more rupees to the dollar.
So that's helpful. And on the FX impact, is there any one-off, or could you kind of quantify what the FX impact for this quarter was on top line impact?
No, there are no one-offs, Krish. It's business as usual.
Okay, and the last question I had was on working capital. If you could provide what the working capital for this quarter was, mainly on receivables, inventory, and payables.
Sure. So, so through the course of the year, the working capital has remained very stable. And given the growth in revenues, so actually, in terms of number of days, we may have seen a benefit of 5-6 days or so, approximately. So from earlier level of little around 160 days or so, you know, maybe it is around 155 or something at present, and we expect it to be stable, you know, for the coming quarter as well, broadly.
Okay, thank you so much, and good luck.
And let me add that because we are generating a lot of cash, you know, our net borrowings that are at a multi-year low. In fact, it's dropped by over 65 crores in the last 9 month period. In fact, on 31st December, our borrowings are at 41.9 crores only. And then in addition to that, we have declared an interim dividend of 8.25 rupees, which will take 37.4 crores as dividend amount. And in fact, this amount is actually sitting separately with us, and it's not going to affect our borrowing levels, you know. So, and while I've given you the figures of net debt of 31st December, as we speak, this, you know, keeps on improving, you know, the debt is going down further and further. So it's all a lot of efficiencies that we have in the system, you know.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Aditya Sharma from Aditya Birla Asset Management Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Wanted to understand more on the agri industry, how it is shaping up in the US, because we are closely tied with the agri, how the agri does, because the tractor demand is based on that. So are we seeing the signs of tapering off? Is the cycle coming to an end, or this is just a small blip? And why are we seeing such a stark difference between the tractors below 70 HP and above 70 HP? So if you could answer these two questions.
Definitely. So, you know, what has happened is that globally, and particularly Europe, USA, the price of food grain is still at historic highs. The effect of this, that, you know, the embargo on Russia, which used to export 20 million tons of grain a year, and another 20 million that used to come out of, you know, because of the war situation that's gone out of the system, food prices have gone up, and the farmer is really making a lot of money in these countries. The 2 years of COVID, the farmers could really not replace their machinery as planned. So there's almost a 1 year lag on machinery replacement. And with a lot of money in the pockets, you know, the demand for machines is definitely at a historic high. In fact, John Deere is predicting a 12 to 14% growth in the current year. And having said that, they are also looking at, if you really want to say, when do we peak, I think in the ag side, they're talking about 2025, whereas on the construction side, they're talking about 2026, you know, as a cycle. And again, the construction side is also because of the $1 trillion infrastructure bill that is really putting in a lot of demand for machinery as well. On the small and large tractors, you know, basically the small tractor or under 70 horsepower is a utility tractor. It's not for serious farming, as we call it. It is used more by property owners in USA. The serious farming is all with the larger horsepower, and which is why there is a little bit, there is a higher demand for the bigger machinery at this time.
This is affecting us adversely because we are the leaders in the small horsepower. So do you see this trend continuing going forward, that the large horsepower would continue to grow faster, and this could actually have an impact on our growth?
No, Aditya. So, see, this is, let's say, only short to immediate term, let's put it that way. And also, we are making good progress in the higher horsepower segment also, since we have a patent registered with us for a critical component which is used in the high horsepower. So, we expect to, you know, strengthen that vertical for us. So our focus is, both the lower, smaller tractors as well as larger tractors going forward. So we expect to benefit from, you know, growth across segments and not just be dependent on one sub-segment.
Having said that, I would like to add there is another segment, like I mentioned, and we call them UTVs and ATVs, and we have developed a three-point linkage system for that. Very recently, we have now got the go-ahead to start selling this three-point linkage for the UTVs and ATVs in the U.S. market. And this itself is a $200 million market, and we see at least a 15 to 20 million business coming in the next 2 to 3 years from this particular new segment altogether.
Right, sir. Sir, what worries me is we were initially targeting around 20% plus growth in terms of top line, and now I think 13-14% is what we think is more doable. So is there a trend which is changing? The underlying demand is moving away. While I understand there are several other levers for a company like Uniparts to grow, but we have a very high dependence on agri. And if that part starts slowing down, then will not have the heightened growth that we were initially expecting.
So clearly, the top line growth was about 14 to 15%. Why it went up a little beyond that number was because the supply chain disruptions and everybody was ordering a lot more material than they needed, and also the shipping time increased from, like I said, 60 to 90 days for USA. And so there was an extra 1 month of inventory needed on the water, as we call it. So, you know, that was leading to higher numbers. But as we move forward, this inventory correction, because of the shipping time having come down, also the top line is affected by the fact that the sea freights are down, and so is, steel coming off will affect the top line. But we look at the bottom line. We are a very bottom line driven company, and we still see sustainable margins and absolute PAT numbers, moving forward.
Got it, sir. Any aspirations for next few years in terms of the top line growth?
So, market is a little volatile, wherein there are pockets of strength while there are some pockets of weaknesses as well, as we speak, currently. Little difficult to predict, but definitely we expect to stay ahead of the end industry growth. So, that remains there.
Okay. But fair to assume that low double digit is quite achievable.
Definitely. Let's put it like that.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
But like I said, China Plus One is bringing surprises, and so, you know, we are very positive because of that movement that is happening.
Right. Right, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Chetan Gindodia from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Very congratulations to Gurdeep ji, Vivek ji, and the entire Unipath team for the first wonderful set of numbers. So my question is with respect to new orders. So you said that 120 crores of orders are in for next year are already approved, and 30 crores are in approval stage. So the full revenue of this 150 crores order will be visible from next year.
No, it may not be the full impact, Ketan, because it takes, I mean, it's a staggered process and it takes some time. So I think by the end of the year, or while doing the Q4 discussion, we'll be in a better position to outline some of that. It may not be the full impact. It may be a large part.
So I'll tell you why it won't be the full impact, because I broke this up into what is already productionized. Those will go into a full year for us. What are in the sample stage, we still have to get the samples done, approval. That's another 3 to 4 month process before they start ordering on us, And then when they order it with us, we normally take a 90-day lead time to, so for it to come into our revenue top line. And then, like I mentioned, about another 30 crores has been approved, but it's not even come to the sample stage. So that may take 6 to 7 months before it comes into affecting our top line, So it's kind of a moving thing between this 150 crore figure.
Right. And also, Chetan, just to add to what Gurdeep sir just mentioned, at times there are some, rapid execution situations also. So during the year, it's not just that whatever is in the pipeline is only going to happen next year. There are situations where, some executions are done in very short period, like 3-4 months or so, which, yield results within the same year. So it's a slightly moving thing as a problem.
Got it. Lastly, so the aftermarket was slightly muted this quarter. So how do you expect, what time frame do you expect this to normalize for us? And also the new aftermarket customer that you have signed in the US, can you share any details about what quantum of revenue can this add for us?
So, yes, the softening of the aftermarket is, first of all, it's not for the reason of the end demand. The end demand is still stable. It is the inventory that was on water that has been corrected for 30 days or 1 month. And also, the customers had also built up inventory because of the uncertainty of the supply chain. So, a combination of both is giving, but this recycling I expect to be over by Q1 of the next financial year. Coming to the new customer, we are very excited about this one. And see, we have the largest one is Tractor Supply Company, which has listed on the stock exchange of New York, and with close to over $10 billion in sales. And they have been a customer for us for 5 years. This one has 700 stores compared to Tractor Supply that has 2,100 stores in USA. And they have already given us a estimate as a starting business of about $2 million to be put into action within the next 3 to 4 months.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you, and all the best to the entire team.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Upadhyay from O3 Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Yeah. My first question is, what is the realization difference between the 3PL prices based on the horsepower of the tractors?
So we, we don't really look at that. What we really see is that the three-point linkage system, when the tractor is sold, the linkage system is between 1 to 1.5% of the value of the tractor, you know. So if a tractor in India is sold for 7-8 lakh rupees, then the 3-point linkage is 1 to 1.5% of that. And if you look at the higher horsepower tractors, which are mostly in Europe and USA, which could be as high as $300,000, again, the 3-point linkage is about 1 to 1.5% of the value of the machine, you know.
Thank you. My second question is also similar. In Europe is 8% of the tractor market, but 27% of 3PL market. But in case of US, it is 8% of tractor market and also 8% of 3PL market. Why so much difference, I want to know.
So like I mentioned earlier, that the less than 70 horsepower tractor is a utility tractor, and actually the market for that is primarily in USA, where they have large properties, you know. Europe doesn't have large properties. Europe as a farming, you know, group of nations, I actually say they are 5 to 7 years ahead in technology usage compared to USA also. So, in fact, the Europe is only using mid to high horsepower tractors. You know, they actually start from 120 HP and go all the way till 350 to 400 HP over there, you know. So our sales in Europe for the are primarily on the higher horsepower.
Thank you. And last question, significant percentage of the revenue is from a single customer. What type of relationship do we have with that customer, and are we involved with them at the development stage also, and how penetrated are we in its supply chain across the globe and products?
Yeah, Manshu, so yeah, so with the largest customer, we are very well integrated, servicing them across geographies. In over 20 factories across the world in all key geographies, and also, you know, not just agriculture but on the construction side as well. So yeah, we have been working with them for very long, and the relationship has been, you know, growing very well.
And what used to be till about 5-7 years ago, you know, they were almost a little over 40% of our business. They are now about 31-32%
yeah,
of our business. It's not that the business with them is coming down, but over this period we have added new customers, you know, and we are moving more towards what new customers and new opportunities are offering us.
Understood. Thank you so much. I'm so sorry to take a little more of your time. I just have one last question. We have a good market share in 3PL, but if we want to gain further market share, what do we need to do here? That's my last question.
So clearly, we said that, you know, the market share on the less than 70 horsepower is pretty high, but the bigger tractors, the market share is under 10%. And because, you know, one of the components in the high horsepower tractor, we call it a hook for the lower link, you know, it's a technical name, we did not have a patent on it, whereas our competition who makes that in Europe had patent. We have now got a patent a little over 6 months ago, 6-7 months ago, and we are looking at increasing our market share on the higher horsepower simply because we are getting more business from customers in this side.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you are requested to please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Hiten Boricha from Joindre Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, I have only 2 questions. The first question is on the capacity, which is running at 75-80% utilization. So, can you throw some more color? What are we doing to improve our capacity, expand our capacity, which is around 67,000 tons currently? So, are we looking for any expansion or any inorganic growth? And on the follow-up on the same is, we are at 80% capacity utilization. So, what is the maximum utilization we can do?
Yeah, so thank you. Going up to 88-90% is fairly possible. So that provides you know, a headroom already available for 10-12% or so. Also, as we are expanding in our Ludhiana location, we are expanding in 2 phases over next 18-24 months. adding 8 to 9% each year for next 2 years. And also, as Gurdeep sir mentioned, that you know our replacement capex also provides us some incremental capacity because of the new technology machines that we tend to acquire. So 4 to 5% you know addition comes from there as well. So given all of these together, a good headroom available for you know headroom and capacity.
So sir, what will be our capacity post is all the expansion? Will it be around 80,000?
Yeah, so see, addition of, as I mentioned, 17 to 18% from the new facility, and then over next couple of years, 4 to 5% each from replacement capex, so another 8-9% from there. So yeah, so definitely going up by 1/4 of what we are today in next 2 years.
Okay. And so my last question is on the margins. So you mentioned the top line, we are going to grow at around 15%, so let's say 15% CAGR for next 2-3 years. But our margins are going to expand, and the levers for that is warehousing of costs and the operating leverage. So wanted to understand, assuming our top line growth is around 15%, by any chance our PAT margins are PAT bottom line growth will be somewhere between more than 15%, let's say around 20%, because operating leverage is going to play?
Okay, so let's not be very specific, like saying 15% or something. Yeah, I mean, you know, we expect to stay ahead of industry growth, maybe early double digit or whatever it is, we'll see at the But yes, PAT growth would be slightly higher than that.
Quite higher.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this 24-23% kind of margin can easily go to like let's say 100 bits every year, 100 to 150 bits every year, and around 27-30% kind of margin is that we are targeting for next 3 to 5 years. Is my understanding correct?
It may not be that rapid. So the two levers that we mentioned and obviously other operating efficiencies, etc., in total could have a potential of 200 to 300 basis points over a fairly, you know, 3 to 4 years sort of a period. So it will be more gradual.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I'll be back in the queue, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Sarin from Centrum Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Thank you. So, first of all, congratulations on the good performance that you've declared. Just wanted to know something. You know, somewhere in the presentation, it's been mentioned that don't look at the margins. It's basically a question of we make a certain conversion or by weight, etc. So, it would be great if you started giving out volume data so we can have a sense of. You know, better sense that what is the per ton, per kg kind of conversion margin that you enjoy. For now, if you can talk about it, it would be great.
Yeah, so thanks for your question. So, you know, Unipart's product portfolio is a value addition driven portfolio, focused on high value addition mix as we go proceed, right? And also the diversity of product mix as well as diversity of delivery mix, etc. There are so many factors. Due to which volume as a metric is not reflective of, you know, the real underlying business. So that's why, I mean, we focus on value as well as margins and not so much on the volume. So something which we do not focus so much internally is also something which we would not, you know, like to, you know, give out as a, let's say, tractable metric because all the tractable things have to be wherein, you know, the management is also focusing internally.
Fair enough. I was just reacting to a statement which was there in your presentation. Otherwise, I do realize, I mean, you are talking about patents, you are talking about, precision machining, etc., which is not a low value commoditized business. So that was not my point. I was just there. The second question is that, there is this talk, you mentioned about order, etc. What is the steady state business that you get such that we can, as we look to the future, we can add the new orders on top of it and get a sense of what the growth is going to be like? Is there a steady state component which does not change or does not change it within a range only?
Well, yes. So see, you can easily link the steady state business growth to the end industry growth. I mean, that's the simplest way to do it. So if the ag industry or the construction equipment industry, as per the CRISIL report we got done for the IPO purpose, the 3PL growth as well as the PMP growth was estimated to grow at 6% or so in the longer term, 5 years or so, right? So that is, the base case, let's say. And on top of that, all the new initiatives, diversification initiatives, et cetera, organically will add to that. And any inorganic opportunity will be a complete top-up to that.
Okay, great. Thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you are requested to limit your questions to one question per participant. The next question is from the line of Vipul Kumar A. Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats for good set of numbers. My question is, out of your turnover, which is 47.2%, which is coming from America, how much is manufactured in America and how much is exported from India, and what are the margins for that business?
So out of our total sales, only about 12% is manufactured in India.
In USA.
I'm sorry. Yeah, in USA. Rest everything is produced in India and then sold globally.
And the margins in USA, what we make in USA and sell in USA is about close to about 12% EBITDA level.
So rest of the sales to USA is from your warehouse segment, which you were earlier referring to, sir?
Correct. So it is a combination of warehouses as well as direct sales from India to customers, because and so it's a combination of the other two, where, like I mentioned, the direct sales are average, giving us about 21% EBITDA, and out of the warehouses giving us about 28% EBITDA.
Okay. Okay, and sir, during the
sorry
IPO
to interrupt,
meeting,
sir, we request you to kindly return to the question queue for further questions.
But thus you are allowed three questions. Why you are allowing me only one question?
Sir, because we have we need time.
No, no. Then you should have curtailed their quota also. No, you cannot change the rule in between.
Okay, go ahead with your question.
Sorry, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, sorry, sir. When I met you at the IPO conference, and at that time you were referring to the components for oil industry. So any progress on that? Your comments, please, sir.
Definitely. We have been dealing with only one customer, and this particular customer has increased their requirement on us in the current financial year. I did mention that they are looking for a very big breakthrough from Saudi Arabia, which they are still working on, and we still have to look at that opportunity coming into as a business, increased business over there.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I have a lot of questions, but I'll write to your IR department. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rajesh Vora from Genmay Venture. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Congrats on good set of numbers. How does your Unipart company different in terms of competitive advantages vis-a-vis your nearest competitor? And who is your nearest one or two competitors, if you could give an idea?
Definitely. Let me answer that. First of all, my competition or Unipart's competition, since we are over 80% in the overseas market, our two main competitors are sitting in Europe. There's one small one in Mexico and there's another one in Japan. Having said that, Unipart is the only company, A, in a low-cost country. Everybody else is in a high-cost country. Two, we are the only one that has a warehousing model, which allows us to ship to all the to majority of our OEM customers on just-in-time basis, which gives us a big advantage. None of my competition, if If the European one is selling, they're only doing Europe and locally, and if the the Mexican one is only in the Mexico, and Japan is only in Japan. So we are the only one, A, in the low-cost country, and B, with a selling model with the warehouses, which is giving us a great advantage, So these are the main things that differentiate us from our competition.
How large are these competitors, I mean, in terms of your size versus their or market share?
So one of the competitors in Germany, although it's a large corporation, but they are only on the three-point linkage part of the business. They last reported their top line at about €70 million. And there's another one in Italy.
Sorry, how much did you say?
€70 million.
1 7?
7-0.
70 million euro. Okay.
Correct. And the second one, which is in Italy, they have overall revenues of a little over €200 million. But they do, again, a lot of other areas. And on the three-point linkage, they are also about, I would say, about €100 million,
Okay. Okay. And lastly,
not listed, so this is just information that we have.
So that's very useful. More important is, you are getting into this new area, which is $10 billion market, PTO, hydraulic cylinders,
correct,
and fabrication. So how large this piece could be for your company over the next 3-4 years?
So we are, at the moment, about 4% of our revenue is coming from these areas, and we expect to take it to at least double digit in the next 2 to 3 years itself.
Okay, good, wonderful, all the best.
The size of this market is about $10 billion.
Yeah, thank you, all the best.
Thank you, Ji.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajay Sharma from Maybank. Please go ahead.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Actually, wanted to get a sense of your basically underlying growth, basically in terms of volume or what, because your top line is kind of dependent on the commodity price as well as on the freight cost. So what's the underlying volume growth which you are seeing?
So Ajay, as we mentioned earlier as well, so, because of the value addition nature of the portfolio, and the diversity across product mix and delivery mix. So again, getting into volume is not perhaps the right way. So definitely value is the key driver, but definitely it has some elements such as steel price and freight, etc., on exceptional basis, which, from year to year may vary a little bit. And we can keep you guys posted on, how much of that is causing any delta. But otherwise, we are focusing purely on value, better margin accretive opportunity, and that's how we are proceeding.
I mean, let's say steel prices correct by 20%, right? Then your top line will obviously be impacted. Then the market might think that your growth is slowed down. So there has to be some metric to kind of evaluate that. That's
yeah,
where I'm coming
from. It is, purely because of, let's say, a steel price reason or a freight cost reason. So obviously, it is fairly explainable, right? And the margins will stay protected. Those are more sustainable. So I think that's the key as far as management is concerned.
And I may like to add, if they drop by 20%, I'll send you a box of sweets, I would really love that.
Okay, just quickly on the cash build-up, right? You will, your cash will continue to build up, I guess, because the capex is not very high and your cash flows are strong. So I guess, do you have a dividend policy in mind?
Correct. So we have a 25% dividend policy, stated dividend policy. And in fact, in the board meeting that we had yesterday, the board of directors have approved an interim dividend of ₹8.25 per share. Total is about 37.4 crores as an outflow. And we figured that since we said 25%, and therefore for the first 9 months, it comes to about that much. So that's what we are actually giving it out. And I also mentioned that our debt is low. This outflow of dividend is not going to affect our debt, because this extra cash flow we've already been putting aside, in liquid funds. And so it's just sitting outside the current debt that we have. But yes, we have a 25% dividend policy. We hope to maintain that. That's what we would like to do.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. You know, very, very enlightened questions. And this was the first one, so obviously it's a learning curve for us. But clearly, as a company, we are on the right path. We just are very excited about the growth opportunities we have for all the reasons that we have mentioned. And very dedicated team that we have. And, you know, we just got another reward from one of our companies that was making a product in-house in USA, and they said, we want to move it to India. So there's so much opportunity simply because of the marquee customers we have, you know. As I had mentioned in the IPO time, the top 10 companies in the world that are making agricultural machinery, all top 10 are my customers, are the customers of Unipath. And even on the construction side, out of the top 10 that are in construction side outside of China, because we don't do any business with China, 5 are our customers, and we are already looking at adding at least one to two more moving forward. So very excited, and really thank you all for giving the time and listening to us and our story. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.